It's time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, and, well, I don't know. We can probably throw a whole bunch of other stuff in there, too. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
He's
good
an morning. Expert. The expert
lots
speaks.
Lots of years of service.
That's right.
Service and experience.
Now, do you remember...
Service, yes. Okay, so...
Do you remember the movie 3 Days...
I know we're all overcome with what's going on out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shootings and tragedies, and so just put your best thoughts forward for those people and their children and their parents and their relatives, and maybe it's in terms of being empathic with the neighbor down the block or the clerk who's giving you a tough time. We've got to get back to the good things in life, and I'm certain we shall. I would like to, though, make us aware of things that we are aware of, but there's so much going on that it's incredible to keep up, and the president's tweeting just makes it almost impossible. However, there's something very serious going on that the media is not spending enough time on, and it is the president's mental condition, his lack of attention, his unawareness, his skipping from topic to topic. Forget about the abuse. Let's just say with the awareness. Now, I want to set the scene very quickly. The president decided not to go to Poland because of the impending storm on the East Coast, Florida, and so forth. Very wise decision, that of a chief executive. Stick in his office, monitor it, do things, so on and so on. I'm just trying to say that he had focus going into the comment he made. The comment he made was that, gee, I had never heard of a Category 5 before, as if it was brand new. There have been four Category 5 hurricanes in the last several years. Will somebody please stand up and say, let's get him help? Maybe it's just the need for some drug to help his memory or something. But he is saying things that show he's unaware, and his lack of awareness can hurt all of us. It is already hurting some of us economically because he doesn't understand economics. He doesn't understand the business world. He doesn't understand international goings and comings. On that score, let's move right into a little piece I picked up from Saturday's Times, letters to the editors, and it states so much where we're at. The title is Easing Methane Rules. This is the EPA, the Trump administration, he says, this gentleman from Jenkintown, PA. He's in the paper, so I'm not... The Trump administration seems to have a death wish for the country and the world. It's a dangerous path to ignore climate science and the environment and economic impact of changing weather conditions. Continue to weaken environmental regulations is potentially life-threatening. It goes on with various examples about methane and so forth. But this man hit it right on the head. And so now I'm just going to give all of us a gentle tap on the head. Why are we even beginning to think that we will reelect this man? He is against anything that he's not for, and he's not for anything other than it helps him. The farmers, he's sending our tax dollars to support the farmers because his trade deal with China is costing them business short term. But more importantly, the farmers are very concerned that they're going to lose 20% of their industry when and if it ever comes back, because Trump's policies have opened the door to competition. This guy is yelling, hey, bring back the autos from China or Europe here. Fine, we'll do that just as soon as You don't give away our farm trade. And I think people are wising up in the Farm Belt about this fellow's policies. I think more individuals who make $100,000 or less and realize that what they got in a tax break was chump change, but more importantly, because of the increased cost of product that the tariffs have created, means that they're going to spend anywhere from $600 to $1,000 a year more than they had, probably more. That includes increase in health costs. The point is, the rich got richer. The poor or the middle class or the whatever class is getting poorer. Wake up. And I'll just finish with this. In the tax code 2017, just saw this the other day, it's not been something that's been bandied about. Do you know, if you are a wealthy person and you invest in what they've called economic opportunity zones in the United States of America, then you can sell your stock and not pay tax on it as long as you invest in these economic community zones. Here is the rub. So many of the places that have been selected out, Dallas, Atlanta, places where there are poor people, but there are very wealthy people. Some of the projects being created, high-class hotels, factories that need people who have an above-average education. So we're being scammed in that the rich are now going to get away with paying capital gains tax. The money is going to be funneled into areas, into certain parts of the areas that will make them even more money. So I'll end on this note and turn it over to the big guns. And please don't. I only say this for people's good. I don't really want to be sarcastic. But I have to tell you, anybody who still will support Trump and will possibly vote for Trump is a masochist. You're a masochist because you're against your own life, your children's life, the country's life. You will be allowing him to screw us even more. And trust me, he'll find a way to do it.
All right. There's Jim.
Am I free to go?
No, you can't go.
No, you still got 20 minutes to go.
Still got a few minutes left to go. No, but, well, you know, and Jim, of course, as you know, you're not the only one that feels that way. I mean, there are 35 to 37% of Americans that don't feel that way about our president. But, you know, it's interesting. If you look at the misstatements that are made, I'm not talking about lies. I'm just talking about misstatements that are made by the president. You know, and Joe Biden has done a whole bunch again this week there. And as somebody who knows Jim Lynch, and as someone who is 66 is going to be 67, I hate to see all these old gray-haired men make us all look bad with their memories, especially. And Jim, you know this better than anybody else in politics. In politics, you're as good as the people around you, and these two should have unbelievably big support teams that always keep them abreast on stuff, and they just don't seem to do it.
There's no question about what you just said. The most successful businesses, political organizations, governments have always had great staff, and most of them have had executives who basically use the staff by listening to them, bouncing ideas off them, changing their mind periodically, mitigating what they were doing. That is totally absent here. And, you know, the real danger is whatever is the upsetment with Mr. Trump, these people who support him and defend him and say, oh, you know, he's only kidding, and a lot of other things. when they look at their kids at night, they must blush. They must blush when they lie to the American people, 300 and some odd million people. I used to think when a president spoke, he was speaking to and really for the good in just about every person on the planet. As I said, the good. Well, now that's been reduced by the president's actions. He doesn't. Everybody's his enemy. Everybody is his enemy. It is incredible, and we can't go on in this fashion. Okay, we just can't.
In politics speak, what's interesting, what you just brought up, is that the president of the United States now, as opposed to just about every other president that has been before him, presidents, when they speak to the public over an immediate act, whether it's a shooting, or whether it's dealing with a foreign country, whatever it is that presidents talk about, they talk about very quickly in the current event, in the current scope of things, and then they reflect on the longer range, no matter what it is, whether it's a shooting, whether it's a negotiation with a country, whether it's this, whether it's that. Whereas our president nowadays does one thing. He lives in the instant social moment, and he is a result. His comments, really, social media have led
social
this to come.
Social media have grown this type of presidency.
You can look around.
Let's talk about the social.
I'm not even going to talk about Donald Trump.
I want to talk about the weather.
On the other day.
Good weather.
Well, on the other day on CNN, Beto O'Rourke was asked a question, and he purposely swore in it. And the day after he did that, and they made a big thing about it, he's selling T-shirts with what he said on it.
Yeah.
This is the socialization via internet of some of the top politicians today, and it's done no good.
It's messed up. And the reason I want to talk about weather is what is being referred to. I thought it was pretty interesting. Social meteorologists, okay? These are people, and I just heard Gene Robinson say on MSNBC this morning that everybody just thinks he spent his whole weekend monitoring the hurricane. And I'm sure he's not the only one who spent their entire weekend monitoring the hurricane. There's only one problem, and it's the same problem that you have if you are trading stocks watching CNBC or Fox. You know, you're at the far retail end of this information, and if you think that by going to the NHC, the NOAA radio, NOAA's national, the government's hurricane site, you are suddenly more prepared and know what's going on and can discourse and should film yourself, you're basically a victim of the democratization of information and social media. And it's so appalling. And people wonder why their attention spans are short. You know, social media has created a situation where if you don't keep putting new information within every 12 nanoseconds into somebody's brain pan, they don't know what to do. Well, that's fine, except that there isn't new information. And when you've got a hurricane, for example, that's moving at precisely, you know, moving at 0 miles an hour, that kind of makes it difficult.
Right.
On numerous levels. So all of this to basically say that we've got a different version of the opioid crisis in as much as we've got an information crisis. No. My point about the opioid crisis is it was going on and on and on before it became effectively labeled as a crisis. And this is going on and on and on, and somewhere along the way, it's going to be labeled as a crisis because you can't get information out, period.
Let me move right into technology. And point to an article in Sad Days Times. You people must think, doesn't this guy have anything better to do than read the paper? Well, frankly, I find it a gift when I give myself the time to read the paper thoroughly. In the A23 section of the Times on Saturday, it's a brilliant article. titled World War II and the Ingredients of Slaughter. It's by Brett Stephens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S. Very bright young man. You can see him on television. It's a well-done, well-documented piece. I just want to point out, continuing the technologies theme, this article was it was a celebration of, not celebration, but an anniversary of the 80-year war with Germany. And in the body of it, it says, the relatively new technology of the 30s was the radio. It is the miracle of radio that it welds 60 million Germans into a single crowd to be played upon by a single voice. The Times reported in 1936. This was by design. Among Goebbels' first efforts after Nazis came to power was to produce and distribute a cheap radio, the Volkssendeflager, long pronunciation, or more importantly, people's receiver, that could bring the Führer's voice and message into every home. Article goes on, but that is a very key point, pertinent today, probably more so, if that's possible, than then. And we got some serious stuff to do here, and it starts with us. What do you want out of your country? What do you want for your kids? Who are you going to vote for that's going to make you safe, that's going to keep the planet going, that's going to give you health care? These are basic issues, and they must be addressed by the Democrats. And if there is a debate with the Republican side, the media, who's in charge of those questions, they must press. They must press these people to the floor, Democrats and Republicans. What are you going to do to make us safe? It might be time up, so I'll run into this.
No.
To show you.
You've got about a minute or two left, and you're fine.
Okay. Well, I'm revved here. My motor's going. And it takes a long time to start up in the morning, you know. Anyhow, to show you what has happened in our country, our beloved country of freedom and ease, Newark Airport yesterday, an attendant, for some reason, thought two men were bad guys. She ran out into the room and said, oh, evacuate, evacuate. 200 people scrambled like there was gunfire. Did you hear what I just said? One person was so upset because probably she had a lot of fear from a lot of things already that have been going on. And she didn't want to be the one who didn't yell fire if there was a fire to help her fellow citizens. However, this is where our mental state is. And I don't find this, it's a terrible example, but we can answer 20 different things. I mean, my wife talks to her girlfriend, who's always going to the theater for various reasons. She's, I'm always looking over my shoulder. This is a woman, the most unperturbed person I've ever met in my life. So, folks, find out who's running. What you want is pretty easy. What you don't want is pretty easy. It's been laid out over the last 2.5 years. Please, do the research. Find the person. That goes to the community people, the state, the local, the federal. And we need action. We don't need a lot of BS. And we do need change. We don't need the same old, same old.
All right. Well, with that being said, I want your NFL predictions. We start this coming weekend.
This weekend, I like the Giants.
All right. I like the Giants every weekend.
That's right. Whether it's
well, no, because Dallas is have some problems. Huh. And this, I saw the Giant halfback, lovely young man. He was giving things out to kids over the week.
Shaquin Barkley. Yeah, Shaquin Barkley, yeah.
Yeah. Love him. Love him. He's going to tear up the carpet.
All right. Well, so we're both on the Giants this week.
All right. This
is Thank God for a change. You've been fighting me for years over.
All right, Jim.
I love you both. You have
Take
a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
A good week, brother.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Of course, Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch here on Robinhood Radio.